Today's February 25th, 2015. This is the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources. Today is a continuation of the public hearing on House Bill 5002 and also a public hearing on House Bill 5003. So with that, we'll go ahead and open up a public hearing on House Bill 5002 and 5003. And I think at this point we were going to call up Dustin Ball with Department of Administrative Services to do a quick overview, and then we'll turn it back over to Director Koba.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I might just point out that there were some responses from yesterday's question about the Wolf Compensation Program and how many federal dollars is the agency's received. And that is saved on OLIS under yesterday's date.
Good morning, Co-Chair Devlin, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Dustin Ball. I'm with the Chief Financial Office. I have a brief overview for you this morning that will give you a high-level summary of the governor's budget. I believe the agency is going to be given a more detailed look at the budget after my presentation and going to walk through some packages. So I'll hit the high points, and if there's any questions, feel free to stop me and I can address those. So when we were developing the governor's budget for the Department of Agriculture, there were several emerging issues that we took into consideration in that process. They were maintaining the parity in the administration or the funding of administration for the agency, wanted to address the agency's equipment needs, and advance water quality issues, invasive species, and regulatory streamlining efforts. We also looked at the agency and how they aligned with the 10-year plan for Oregon and wanted to maintain those
if I'm not here to start.
Key initiatives, and particularly looking at the healthy environments and economy and jobs. This slide is going to give you a high-level overview of the past several biennias of the agency's budget. On the far left is the actuals from the 11-13 biennia, and then working to the right, you get to the 15-17 proposed governor's budget. One thing you'll notice in the 15-17 budget, there that red bar is the lottery funds, and that's a reduction because the lottery forecasts were not growing as much as expected. So it drops from the current LAB of $6.5 million down to the $6.3 million. Also, you'll notice the growth in the general fund. That is really some investments this biennia, as well as rebuilding that low point back in the early 2000s that the agency had. This picture is really showing the funding types by programs in the agency. And one thing I want to call out here is you see all the lottery funds are in the natural resource program. Those are Measure 76 lottery funds, and they're all in that area. Also, when you look at the bottom gray bar, that is other funds. And that's a combination of fee-for-service, so there's charges that the agency is providing, or they're receiving revenue for a service they're providing, and then the other components are really licensing dollars. Key investments in the governor's budget were improving water quality and restoring watershed, controlling invasive species, and protecting sage-grouse habitat. We had investments to enhance the interaction of natural resource agencies with regional solutions, as well as a alignment and coordination team, and that's the regulatory streamlining efforts. We made investments to improve the laboratory infrastructure and capacity. There are investments for maintaining the parity of the funding of agency administration. Ensuring compliance with ballot measure 91, that we talked a little bit on this. And one thing to note is the Joint Committee on Ballot Measure 91 implementation has been meeting, and there could be some potential statutory changes that come out of that. And depending on the rulemaking of the commission, as well as the recommendations from that committee, there may need to be some adjustments in this agency's budget. We do have an investment to continue the hemp program. This is the industrial hemp that was, fees were established and rules were adopted early 2015. There was funding passed by biennium general fund for the agency to implement the program. This is adding a position to actually do a lot of that work, and it will be funded by fees. The governor's budget also supports Senate Bill 257, which increases penalties related to pesticide application violations, as well as clarifies the agency's roles. Some fee components in the agency's budget are an increase to the motor fuel quality fees, and this is Senate Bill 254. Also, House Bill 2443 is increasing the fertilizer registration and tonnage fees. And then there are some fees that were administratively increased in the current biennium that need fee ratification, and that's what we're talking about with these nursery and wholesale seed dealer fees. Those fees were administratively increased. We're back in this budget. We have a 070 package, which if the fees are not adopted, will be a reduction to the current agency budget. But if they are adopted, it will maintain that that program. We also include the fee establishment for the egg lane operations. This is work that is scheduled to begin July 2015. If there's any questions, I can address those, or we can turn it over to the agency.
Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Ms. Koba, just start whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Good morning, co-chairs and members. Katie Koba, director of the Oregon Department of Agriculture, and joining me is our numbers guy, Lauren Henderson, assistant director. Senator Hansel, before you came in, LFO staff noted that we've got response to the question around wolf compensation that's been posted online. So I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that, and it shows how much federal funds we've been able to generate because of the state program. So this morning, my intention is to go through our budget packages and our fee bills, which will be making their way to you, and then we have, I believe it's Senate Bill or House Bill, I can't remember, 5003, which is the fee ratification bill in front of you as well. Our agency has as we are diverse with programs, we are also diverse with funding. And this top section shows comparing the 13-15 legislatively adopted budget, the budget that we're currently operating under, to the governor's recommended budget for 15-17. The big difference really is the general fund. So we're seeing some increase in general fund in the governor's recommended budget. And as we go through our packages, you'll see where those general fund proposals are. Lottery funds, there's a slight decline. Other funds, which is our fee-for-service license and permit fees, slight increase, and federal funds are fairly steady. So you can see the total fund comparison as well as FTE, and we'll highlight the packages where we have some positions in FTE that we're proposing be added. So I'm just going to go through these packages, and certainly when you have questions, I know you will ask. Our first package, 110, and actually the first two packages, 110 and 220, are really what we've talked about in terms of maintaining core infrastructure for our agency. So package 110 we call the Administrative Overhead Parity Package, which may seem strange in terms of its title, but as you will see up top, we have a mixture of general funds and lottery funds, other funds and federal funds in our agency, and our administration is also funded with a mixture of funds. But what has happened over time is the proportion of general fund lottery fund support in our administration has declined, and the other funds have picked up a larger share of administration. So the parity in our agency compared to our administrative overhead is not equivalent. And let me give you some data that demonstrates that. In our current biennium, the percentage of general fund and lottery fund combined in administration is about 15%, whereas the agency as a total is 22% general fund and lottery fund. For the governor's recommended budget, the agency-wide general fund and lottery funds in our agency would be about 26%. So we have gone back and we've done a calculation about time and effort in administration that is dedicated to just our other funds programs versus our agency as a whole. And in that calculation, the percentage that we would recommend that general fund and lottery fund support in administration would be about 21% of the agency compared to the 26% in all of our programs. So this $642,463 in general fund into administration would really bring that parity back in line. General fund and lottery fund, if this is approved, would be about 21% in our administration versus 26% in the agency. And we feel that's a pretty fair analysis in terms of time and effort in admin versus the agency-funded budget. If this package doesn't go through, in essence, what happens is our fee payers are paying a higher percentage of administration than what they support in agency programs in the agency. And we think it's only fair to our fee payers to try to balance that as well as we can. Package 220 is our regulatory lab infrastructure. I talked quite a bit yesterday about our lab and the work that we do there, which supports so many of our programs in our agency. And what we're seeing is just an increased emphasis on science-based analytical capability in the work that we do to support both what's going on out in the world. So an example of that would be some pollinator die-off that we had and work that we did in our lab to try to identify the source, as well as supporting our regulatory actions that we take. This is a package of a little over $1 million in general fund that would do a number of things in our lab. First and foremost, I think the most important piece of it would allow us to automate our laboratory information management system. This is a system that's been in place since the mid-'80s, I believe, 1988. In a number of our audits from EPA, they have recommended automating that information management system. We just have not had the resources to be able to do it, but it would be it would increase the efficiency of the lab. We talked a lot yesterday about some things that we've been doing to try to do that. This would take that to a new step and would also allow our regulatory lab to communicate better with the other three labs we have in our agency, which is our plant health lab, our animal health lab, and our weights and measures lab. So a big part of the general fund would support that. It would also support including 5 additional positions. Because of the nature of the funding for this lab package, those positions would be established as limited duration. We could not find permanent funding within our agency, but in all likelihood, we would be back in 2 years asking to make those 5 positions permanent. And again, driven by increased demand for laboratory work in our agency. And then the remainder of the resources would be used to conduct equipment maintenance. We're behind on some of our older equipment maintenance, support necessary services and supplies, laboratory equipment that we need, and purchase some new equipment for our lab. So the total package there is, as I indicated, a little over $1 million in general fund. Let me jump down while we're on the lab.
Ms. Koba.
Yes.
We have
Chair.
A question.
Okay.
So I noted that, so you're saying there's 5 new positions, and that was based on the demand. Is this kind of a fee-for-service demand that is going on?
Mr. Chair, we have a mixture of funding in our lab as well. So we receive general fund in the lab as well as our programs, pesticides, food safety, and others also pay for lab samples that we do for them. The lab sample costs do not generate enough revenue to really do these kinds of infrastructure pieces in the laboratory, so an automated information system, purchase of new equipment. We just don't get enough revenue from our programs in order to cover these kinds of basic infrastructure investments. That's why we're asking for the general fund.
Yeah, and just a quick follow-up. So with the with the 5 positions, there isn't enough money coming from the fees to fund that, and that's why you want to subsidize them with the general fund?
Mr. Henderson is looking through, I think, to talk a little bit about. So our lab currently is a mixture of general fund and other funds, and so there's a mixture in terms of the existing positions that are general fund and other funds supported, And I think bottom line is the fees that we charge the programs would not be able to cover the cost of the new positions. But I want to point out before Lauren speaks, to fund this package, we used internal resources. And this box here summarizes where those internal resources came from. So in our plant health program, which is also a mixture of general fund and other fund, we're proposing eliminating permanently the general fund from the plant health program of $570,000 to fund the lab package part of it. We're proposing shifting the general fund in the Pesticide Analytical Response Center to other funds. The source of those other funds is pesticide registration fees in the amount of $343,000. That we're proposing be a one-time shift, so we would be back next biennium proposing that be general fund again. So that's part of the problem we have with making the positions permanent. And then the a shift of some resources out of the Pesticide Stewardship Partnership Program. This would be a permanent shift proposal, and this we calculated because the PSP program, which is new to our agency this biennium, when it's a partnership between ODA and DEQ, and when DEQ we transfer funds to DEQ to fund positions, and when they filled those positions, they took some senior staff to fill those positions, so their personnel costs were higher than what I think we had anticipated going in. As a result, the automatic roll-up in order to cover that base program was higher than the percentage kind of allowed for agencies. And so we adjusted down the roll-up in that program to something that's comparable to the rest of our agency roll-up costs and took $88,000 out of technical assistance in the Pesticide Stewardship Partnership Program to also permanently move to the lab program. So the lab package is internally funded with a mixture of permanent fund shifts and temporary fund shifts.
And just one last question. The five FTEs, do they perform other activities or duties outside of fee-for-service, I guess, tasks?
So I think I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Henderson now.
Yeah.
For the record, Lauren Henderson, I'm the Assistant Director with the Oregon Department of Agriculture. Yes, they will. You have to think about this really as increasing the capacity of our lab. Some of that capacity building is infrastructure related to getting our ISO certification, the quality assurance program. There's a lot of non-test activities that you have to perform in order to even be able to do a test. We do try to work through in our financing model the actual cost of the test and the analysis of that into our fee-for-service programs that ask them. They are charged that. This program option package would make the budget, and I'm going to use round numbers here, almost 50-50 general fund, other fund. I believe it puts it at about $2.7 million general fund and about $3.1 other funds. The reality is, particularly on the lab information system, it comes with one of the staff is an information technology person to be able to that's one thing we don't have today. We don't have a dedicated IT person to actually manage the old system that we have, and it's far outlived its usefulness. And so we need an information technology person to manage that system so that it can do the reporting, keep it up to date, and so that it's a livable system that can serve everyone. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. Thank you very much.
Please proceed.
Okay, so that is the lab package. Scroll back up here. We have, which we'll be talking to once we get to the end of the budget overview, we have four fee bills that are in the process and will be making their way down to you. One of those fee bills is an increase in our motor fuel quality fee. And I'm going to be going through the fee bills after we go through the budget. So as we increase fees, obviously we expect additional other funds revenue, and this package 230 gives us the limitation that we would anticipate in terms of an increase in other funds revenue because of that fee increase. Package 240.
Ms. Koba, we have a question.
I'm sorry.
I'm not familiar with that program. Could you just give us a quick, you inspect the fuel. Tell me what that is.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hansel, yes, we run the state's motor fuel quality program. So we're out testing fuel all over the state. We take samples at gas stations and test for quality to make sure it's, if it's saying it's 98 octane, it is indeed 98 octane for the renewable fuel standards. If it's 10% ethanol, we're testing for that. So we do a lot of fuel testing, and this, when we get to the fee, you'll see this fee has been in place for quite some time and does not cover the cost of the program. So we're proposing an increase.
Well, who pays the fee? Where, how does that structure? Will you get into that later, or do you?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dembrough, it is the gas station facilities themselves that pay that fee.
Okay.
Package 240. Yesterday, we also talked in our weights and measures program that if there's a scale in the state, we're the ones that inspect it. Well, we have a number of railroad scales in the state, all over the state, and we need big equipment to test those railroad scales. We have a couple of, I'm sure, very valuable antiques that have outlived their usefulness, and I'm going to have Mr. Henderson pass around pictures. We have Orex 2 and Orex 4. Orex 2 is dated 1907, and we don't even have a date on 4, but I think it's a little more modern. In essence, we need new railroad test cars, and these need to go into a museum. So we'll share these pictures with you, but this is a complete 100% fee-for-service program, and we would propose using some of our fee revenue in that program to replace our two antique railroad test cars. Package 250 is, I had mentioned as well yesterday, we will begin inspections this July of poultry cages. And this allows us to collect the limitation that we expect to get from those inspections and spend the limitation, the revenue on those inspections. So it's a little bit of a limitation increase in our other funds program. Package 260, in our food safety program, we're in year three of a five-year grant from the Food and Drug Administration to do what's called the Manufactured Retail Food Systems Program, MRFS program, and we're one of a handful of states that did this on a pilot program early on, and then it's being rolled out to multiple states. So we get federal funds in this grant program, and we need the limitation again in the coming biennium as we go into the last couple years of this program, both the limitation and the limited duration position extension in package 260. Package 310, we've talked a lot about water quality. Again, just to remind you, it's a very, very high priority program area for us. And we talked the other day about the Clean Water Partnership, of which we are one of the member agencies, and other agencies include DEQ, Department of Fish and Wildlife, Forestry, OWEB. This is also a high priority in the governor's recommended budget, and our piece of the investment to continue the state's efforts around water quality is this package 310. There's a little over $1.5 million in general funds in the package. That $1.5 million would do two things. It would fund three new positions in our water quality program. These positions would be focused on continuing the assessment work, the on-the-ground assessments that we're doing, to really give us a good idea of the contributions agriculture has already made to water quality and where we need to do additional work. And then there's $1 million of that $1.5 million that we would use for targeted work. And this could fall in a number of areas. We know with the pilots that we've already worked on in the current biennium with the Strategic Implementation Area Program, this has generated more people walking in the door of their local soil and water conservation district saying, the Department of Agriculture did an assessment. It looks like I need to do a little bit more work on my land. I need your help, which is exactly what we want to have happen. We want to drive landowners into soil and water conservation districts or watershed councils to get the technical assistance they need. Some of those soil and water conservation districts, frankly, don't have the resources to handle increased demand for their services. And so some of this money could be targeted to some of those soil and water conservation districts where we're doing expanded pilots. In addition, one of the challenges that we have in the state's water quality program is what we call legacy issues. So in the Department of Agriculture, we're responsible for agricultural activities that are contributing to water quality. But if you're a landowner and you're not an active farmer or rancher, and you've got maybe invasives, blackberries, if you will, or if we've got streams that have got some cut bank problems. So we've got some water quality issues, but it's not because of agricultural activities. There really isn't an entity that says you need to do something and this is what you need to do, or any kind of regulatory construct over those legacy type issues. Some of this $1 million could be seed money to really target some high priority legacy issues. Certainly $1 million is not going to solve our legacy issue challenges in the state. But if it could be seed money that brings in federal resources, that brings in nonprofit resources, that really coalesces around some high priority issues, that's one of the other things that we see this $1 million could be targeted at. So that's package 310. Package 320, the Invasive Species Council that I'd mentioned a couple days ago, which is a kind of a unique entity in state government. It's established in statute. It's made up of state agency representatives, federal representatives, appointees that are appointed by the council that could be nonprofit or other experts on invasive species. And the role of the Invasive Species Council is really to be kind of a coordinating entity for all of those agencies and groups that are focused on invasives, communicating what's going on, making sure we're not being duplicative in our work. The Invasive Species Council has a part-time contract employee. They've got, in the current biennium, is 100,000? 50,000 in the current biennium for their state support of their budget, which doesn't get a lot. So the governor's recommended budget is requesting an additional 100,000 for basic invasive species coordinator work, and that total of $150,000 in general fund could fund a full-time position for the Invasive Species Council. There's actually legislation making its way through that would require the council to appoint a staff person. Package 340, this is another one of our fee bills, an increase in our fertilizer fee, and we're anticipating increased revenue in the amount of a little under $52,000 because of that fee increase. Package 350 is the third fee increase in our nursery fee program and the limitation that we're expecting it will and revenue it will generate. Package 360 is the pesticide civil penalty package. We're proposing an increase in our civil penalties in our pesticides program, and that's the estimate of what we're expecting in terms of an increased revenue because of those increases in civil penalties. Package 410. I think some of you have heard of the Regional Solutions Program. It's evolved over the last 4 years or so. There are now 11 different regional solutions advisory committees that have been established around the state. And in the last 2 years, they have identified priority areas that they want to do work in. We are not one of the agencies that has dedicated staff to the regional solutions efforts. And each of those advisory committees now have identified agriculture or water as one of their key priority areas. And we don't have staff that are supporting any of those efforts. So we'd actually asked for two staff members, thinking one east side person, one west side person that could support regional solutions work. The governor's recommended budget is recommending one person, one regional solutions coordinator. So if we got this position, this person would be on the road a lot. But working with those various regions that have identified agriculture as an area that they want to explore in terms of economic development opportunities and really kind of trying to help them figure out what does that mean and what might be specific projects that they would work on. Package 420 is the limitation increase for the hemp inspection program. This is a program that's just been administrative rules adopted last month. It is difficult for us to really anticipate how much revenue we're going to get in that program, so this is a guess as much as anything in terms of limitation increase for the hemp inspection program. Package 430. This is a very important package for us as well. It's all other funds. And our shipping point program is 100% fee-for-service program, and it's really driven by volume in terms of fruit and vegetable inspections. Over the last 2 years, we've seen a very big increase in demand in that program. We came back to the emergency board at some point in time over the course of the last biennium and got some limitation increase to allow us to spend the funds that we get in that program. But what's happened is we are now double-filling, triple-filling positions, existing positions, because of workload. And this package would add 31 positions and a little over, I think, 10 FTE, 10.35 FTE. It's not new people. It's basically cleaning up the books and actually having, if we've got a person that's doing work, having them in their own position. It helps us in terms of accounting for the program expenditures in that program.
Yes, Representative.
Yeah, when I was looking at the kind of the fund balances, it looks like you had an increase from 411,000 to 620,000, and then after this, it looks like you're anticipating a negative of 184,000, actually 560,000. So I just wanted to give us a little overview of that, because it says you might adjust program fees if necessary. So I just want to know.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair, and I'll have Lauren chime in as well. We had a one-time expenditure in this program during the current biennium. We had an old facility in Hermiston, and we used some of our ending fund balance and built a new facility in Hermiston. That's eaten up that ending fund balance. The program right now is working really hard with the industry on the cost structure in that program to see where we might be able to reduce some of our costs. But it could be, in all likelihood, we'll be going back to the industry and raising our fee in that fee-for-service program. It's a very sensitive issue because this is not a mandatory program, and the industry comes for us because they like the State of Oregon seal when we're doing those inspections. But if our costs get too high, we will lose business. And this is probably the program in our agency that's run most like a business. So we're working very, very closely with the industry. We're trying to figure out where we could reduce some costs, but we could very well get to a point where we've got to go back and raise that fee that we charge for those inspection services. Anything to add for that?
The only thing I might add to that is that the statute provides cost recovery mechanisms for this program. It doesn't actually set the fees like some of our other programs. Given that we do run it like a business, we have a profit and loss statement. The balances that I think you're looking at assume that we spend every amount of limitation that we have in this program. And the reality is, if the work's not there, we're not generating revenue, and hopefully we're not generating a lot of expenditures to go with that. And so, as Director Koba said, it is a balance. And we do have a shipping point advisory group that our staff work very closely with on the fees for this program.
So just to make sure I'm understanding, so it's basically the goal is like running a business is not to, is to at the end of the day recover the costs with the fees.
And Mr. Co-Chair, make sure we're giving the industry the service that they want at a price that they can afford. Because if not, they do have other choices.
If I could add just one other item in this program, given the seasonality of the work, it's not constant work 12 months out of the year every day. And so at any one point, you might look at those cash balances and you might see a very large cash balance. And then at another point, you might look at it and it may be very low. It goes up and down. We try to smooth it out and get more work to fill in the gaps. But we do need to have some cash balance or float in order to get through some of those slow times with the work. Ideally, you would not have slow time, but we do in Oregon.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Okay, moving on, package 440. This is I think we're at the fourth. This is a fee increase that we did administratively. So package 440 increases the limitation in our wholesale seed dealer program. This was a fee that was increased administratively during the current biennium, and we're expecting additional revenue in that program. Moving down to the next section, the new policy option packages are packages that the governor's recommended budget included in our budget. The first one, package 390, is the Department of Agriculture's part of the comprehensive SageCon initiative, and our piece of that really focuses on invasives. The governor's recommended budget included $500,000 in general fund for our agency to focus on dealing with noxious weeds in sage-grouse habitat. We expect that about $100,000 of this will stay within our agency and our weed program. We'll do work on the ground with invasives, and then $400,000 of that we would contract out with local entities. It could be county weed control programs, could be soil and water conservation districts, could be others, again, to focus on dealing with invasive weeds on sage-grouse habitat. As I mentioned when I talked about the effort, the complete effort in terms of trying to prevent a listing of sage-grouse, it really has been monumental. Many state agencies are involved in this. The ranching community has stepped up to the plate. I think people are feeling very, very good about the effort. We're anxiously awaiting what the federal government is going to do, but it's been a win-win in terms of improving habitat for sage-grouse, also improves habitat for our livestock industry. And so this is a good program, and it's an important package.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Katie, is there federal investment in the effort to keep the sage-grouse off the list?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dembro, we have federal partners at the table as part of the SageCon work. Mm-hmm. In terms of resources, I can't tell you off the top of my head. I'm assuming there is. But maybe we can make a note of that and go back and come back with you to see what federal resources have been spent so far on the SageCon initiative.
Great. Thank you.
Please proceed.
Package 450 is a priority as well for the governor's office. It creates what's called an alignment team. And you may have remembered Richard Whitman speaking to this effort. There's been a lot of discussion in state government over the last decade, if you will, around regulatory streamlining, and a lot of efforts, task forces looking at how we might streamline regulatory efforts, be more coordinated in our efforts, be more timely in issuing permits, those kinds of efforts. And as well, Senator Dembro, your bill that would consolidate natural resources agencies, a lot of discussion around that. I think where the governor's office has landed is this notion of creating an alignment team that would be a high-level team. The members would actually report to governor's natural resources office staff, and they would be able to pull together agencies and have decision-making authority in terms of high-profile regulatory efforts. An example that is relevant to our agency is the discussion right now about a Boardman to Hemingway power line, transmission line. There's a lot of regulatory issues clearly with that effort. There's concern from irrigated agriculture and our dairy communities about where that line might be sited. And so this could be a place where this high-powered team, if you will, would come in and bring in the right players, really kind of sort through the regulatory issues and help facilitate the appropriate siting of that line. So that could be an example of work that would be done. Our budget contains one position. There are other positions in other agency budgets, but we would contribute one position to that effort. And then package 501, this is really that placeholder package that I was speaking to, and I would expect we'll have a much better sense as we get to the end of session about our role and our costs that would be associated with implementing Measure 91. This was just a guess, so we've put in one position with the limitation, but it could be more than that. If we're lucky, maybe it's none, but I don't think we're going to fall in that camp. So we're reserving the right to come back and work with you on what we think is the appropriate number in this package. And then, as we've indicated, there is a lottery fund revenue shortfall, and our portion of that shortfall is the $157,423 that's noted here. We would need to go back to our programs. There's basically three of them that get lottery funds and look for efficiencies, probably reductions in S&S in order to meet our share of that lottery fund shortfall. So those are our budget packages. And if we added them up, hopefully they'd match the numbers that were at the very top of the page. What I'd like to do then is go over our fee bills real quickly for you, if that makes sense. This document has all of the Department of Ag legislation, but I'm just going to go through the four fee bills and the civil penalty bill today. And as I said, these are all, I think, eventually going to end up down here in Ways and Means. The first one, Senate Bill 254, this is the motor fuel quality fee bill. And what it does is raise the current fee of $5 on all licensed motor fuel metering devices to a phase-in over the next 5 years that would eventually double that fee from $5 to $10, but with a $1 increase each year over the next 5 years. The program right now does not pay for itself. It is subsidized by our Weights and Measures program, and this fee increase would bring it more in line to being self-sufficient. I might say that we work very closely with all of our fee payers when we're bringing forward fee increases. We are not aware of any opposition to any of our fee increases. So I do want to make that clear for the committee. Senate Bill 255 relates to our animal health program, and we spent some time talking about our funding challenges in our animal health program. This is our state vet, a district vet, and another half-time district vet. We've lost resources in this program over the last 6 years or so. We had requested general fund and did not get general fund in the governor's recommended budget, so we had a fallback of raising the vet products registration fee, which is currently $75. And the bill would raise that cap to $150. We anticipate that we would have to immediately go to that cap in order to generate the resources to fund the base animal health program. If we don't, we will be facing additional cuts in that program. We have worked very closely with the industry on that. I think they're still advocating for general fund in this program, but if we don't get it, we anticipate needing to basically double the vet products registration fee in order to support the current program in our animal health program. Senate Bill 256 is an increase in our nursery and Christmas tree license fees, and it raises the cap in those programs. Again, we worked very, very closely with the industry on this proposal. The nursery industry is actually introducing their own fee bill that we believe will mirror ours. And if that's the case, we'll probably let them carry their fee bill forward. So that's Senate Bill 256. Then jumping down to House Bill 2443, this is the increase in our fertilizer program. And what happened about 3 years ago, there was concern about nitrates in groundwater in the Umatilla Basin, which is a groundwater-limited basin. The industry was very interested in supporting research to try to identify how the nitrates were getting in the groundwater, what maybe practices could be put in place to reduce that nitrate in groundwater number. And at that time, they came to us and asked us to look at our fertilizer program because we did have an ending fund balance in it and fund research in that program. We have done that to the tune of $70,000 per year for the last 3 years. At that time, when they approached us, we had indicated that will drive an increase in our fertilizer fee in order to continue to support our base program sooner rather than later. Well, that sooner time has come. And we worked with the industry over the last year on this fee increase as well. The fee increase will continue funding our base program and continue to allow for research at $70,000 a year into the future.
Question?
Yes.
When you say you've been working with the industry, have they bought off on this? Are they okay with it?
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Hansel, yes. They have indicated their support for this fee increase. Took us a while.
Mr. Chair, and is the research finding anything? What's the upshot?
Too early. Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Dembro, the experts in the back of the room indicate that it's still early.
Okay, thank you.
But we're hopeful. And then finally, Senate Bill 257 would do a number of things, but it included in that bill, we would double the base pesticide civil penalty cap that's currently set in statute. And in statute, a first-time violation, the maximum is $1,000 per count. So just to note, we could have multiple counts in a violation, and it would increase that first-time cap from $1,000 to $2,000. For subsequent violations, the cap would increase from $2,000 to $4,000 per count. We adopt in administrative rule a matrix that actually is a formula for setting a fee. So a first-time violation count may not necessarily go immediately to the cap of $1,000, but there's a formula that we use when we calculate our civil penalties. We worked closely with the industry on this issue as well. These caps were set in statute in the 70s and have not been increased since then. So we believe that this is an appropriate increase in terms of civil penalties around pesticide violations. And there's some other provisions in that bill as well, but that's the dollar piece of it. So those are our four fee bills and our civil penalty bill that all will generate additional revenue for the agency.
Okay. Questions?
The last piece we have is our fee ratification bill, House Bill 2003, and excuse me, House Bill 5003. And these are, as you've noted, we have a number of fees in the agency. In most cases, those fees, there's a cap set in statute. And then we, by administrative rule, actually set that fee for a certain time period. We work very closely as well with stakeholders in setting those fees. So during the current biennium, we had a number of fee increases through administrative rule that were below the cap, and House Bill 5003 is a ratification of those fee increases that we went through. We had fee increases in our nursery and Christmas tree program, our seed dealer wholesale license fee program. Is that it? No, and then we need an amendment as well to add the hemp fees, which were just newly established. We did not have those when we drafted House Bill 5003, and we know that this has made committee staff very happy because we have a track record of not being able to get our fee ratification bill correct on the first time. We'd hate to break that track record. So hopefully you have that in front of you. Lauren, anything to add?
Just one more thing. We are in conversations again. One of the items on here is the seed dealers increase. We are talking with them again at their request about possibly looking at those fees again, even beyond what's in the fee bill. They'd like us to put, I think it's another half-time staff person out doing more inspections. They're willing to pay for that. So it's possible. Not sure how likely that we may have another add in the seed dealers later. We'll work with LFO staff on that if that comes about. And we do appreciate LFO's patience with our fee bill.
Okay. Any additional questions?
That's it. Very straightforward and simple budget.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I believe we'll be back here tomorrow, or the rest of the committee will be back here tomorrow for public testimony. So with that, I think, unless any additional, that we're adjourned.